Good morning, everyone. Can I have the first picture up, please? It's Christmas Day! I took that picture last night as it was going over. Yes, it's Christmas at last. It's been going on for a long time, hasn't it? The cake shop next door to us has been banging out Christmas songs since November. People think I don't like Christmas. I love Christmas. I think it's great. I just don't like the fact that it starts in August. And the sprouts. Oh. So it's good to see so many people here. Some old faces. Not old faces. Faces we haven't seen. We'll cut that from the edit. Okay. So let's just start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for Christmas and what it means for the world. The day when your son came into the world as a human being, beginning his life as a helpless infant, yet going on to give that life up so that we might join him forever. We pray for those people for whom today, for whatever reason, is a hard day. We would ask that they would know your love and comfort. And I would pray that you would be here with us in this service today as we come to celebrate the birth of your son and bring glory to your name in so much. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I need some help to light the candles. Is there anybody going to... You will help. Come on. Yes. So... we've got the four Advent candles and a special candle for Christmas Day. Hmm? You can do them all. You don't need to do the special one. I'll do one. I'll help you. You do that one. So that's the four Advent candles and the Christmas candle lit. Need a round of applause. We're switching switches, for goodness sake. So we've been waiting all through the season of Advent to celebrate the coming of Christ into the world, and the day has finally arrived. Today we'll be declaring the truth that Jesus came, and also remembering that we're waiting for him to come again. But first of all, we're going to sing our first hymn, which is a medley, and it's Joy to the World. seated. It says in my instructions here. No, it doesn't actually. I'm supposed to have done a bit of a welcome and say fire exits are there and there. Toilets are that way. If the oxygen masks fall down, yeah. Could I have, Joe, please, the first reading? I'm going to be reading from the Message version of the Bible, so it's a little bit different. And this is Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. About that time, Caesar Augustus ordered a census to be taken throughout the empire. This was the first census when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone had to travel to his or her own ancestral hometown to be accounted for. So Joseph went from the Galilean town of Nazareth up to Bethlehem in Judah, David's town, for the census. As a descendant of David, he had to go there. He went with Mary, his fiancée, who was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. She gave birth to a son, her firstborn. She wrapped him in a blanket and laid him in a manger because there was no room in the hostel. We're going to be looking at four different symbols of Christmas to represent the birth of Jesus. So the question is, what do you think are the symbols of Christmas? Can I have some answers? Volunteers to give me answers for symbols of Christmas. What's a symbol of Christmas? Anyone? Star. Don't believe I haven't got a star on here. Oh yes, it is there. Yeah, the star. Yeah, star followed by the. I've got 67 of these. So keep going. Any more? Angel. I heard something. Let me just do angel. Yeah, angels in the nativity scene, because we have to crowbar Jesus into Christmas somehow or other. What? Sprout?
No.
That's not on my list.
Manger.
Okay, that's a new one. Manger. I'll write that down. Thank you.
Stable.
Right. I haven't got stable, but I have got the donkey or the mule, not to be confused with the character, the mule in Isaac Asimov's Foundation saga, because Mary rode one to Bethlehem. No, she didn't. She didn't. Any more?
Gold.
Gold's a good one, yeah. Gifts, that would be.
Yeah,
yes, gifts, because the wise men gave gifts to Jesus. Somebody said Mary. Yeah? Okay, that's not on here. Wrong. Any more?
Babies.
No, that's not on here either.
Shepherds.
Shepherds, yeah. Okay. I'm going to read some out because this is going to take forever, isn't it? Some people have got to get out early. So we've got the Christmas tree, which originated in Germany. And Christmas trees are decorated with ornaments, Christmas ornaments. Lights and candles as well we have. And wreaths. Nobody said wreaths. They symbolize life and infinity, apparently. Santa Claus, of course. He lives in the North Pole and rides a sleigh pulled by reindeer. Stockings, Christmas stockings. The legend has it that St. Nicholas knew of a widower who had three daughters but didn't have the means to pay for their weddings. So St. Nicholas climbed down their chimney at night and stuffed the girls' washed stockings that were drying in the fire with gold. It's a bit of a safeguarding nightmare, that, isn't it? Christmas bells we have as well. See, have we got some jingly bells down there? There we go, Christmas bells. Mistletoe and holly and poinsettias as well. And Christmas sweets. There's some Christmas chocolates, yes. Okay, those are the Christmas symbols that I had written down. But I'm going to use four different symbols for Christmas. And the first one of those, if I could have that, please, is a baby. Do you think that's appropriate for Christmas, a baby?
Yes?
Yes. Okay. Today we're going to celebrate the birth of Jesus, the baby Jesus. He was also called Emmanuel, which in Elvish is God with us. I should have got a bigger laugh there. So it's such a special day today. It's the day that God came to be with us in a physical sense. So Jesus has a special identity, both as God and man. And as we saw in the reading, and we will see as we carry on with that reading in Luke, even though we call it the Christmas story, it's not actually a made-up story. It's true. It really happened. Luke says, while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. She gave birth to a son, her firstborn. She wrapped him in a blanket and laid him in a manger because there was no room in the hostel. Now, I've only ever been present at one birth, and that was my own, and I don't remember much about it. But I would say that Luke's glossing over that a little bit with the way he presents it. Giving birth, as I understand it, can be a traumatic and painful event. And you have to imagine Mary and Joseph at this time, scared and away from home. It's the first baby. And I wonder if in the back of their minds they were thinking, he doesn't look like a Messiah. He just looks like a little baby boy. So, baby is a symbol of Christmas. And we're going to sing another hymn now, another carol. And we're going to sing Away in a Manger. Please sit down. Could I have the next slide, please, Joe? This is further on in the reading of Luke's Gospel. This is Luke 2, 8 to 14. There were shepherds camping in the neighborhood. They had set night watches over their sheep. Suddenly, God's angel stood among them, and God's glory blazed around them. They were terrified. And the angel said, "Don't be afraid. I'm here to announce a great and joyful event that is meant for everybody worldwide. A Savior has just been born in David's town, a Savior who is Messiah and Master. This is what you're to look for, a baby wrapped in a blanket and lying in a manger." At once the angel was joined by a huge angelic choir singing God's praises. "Glory to God in the heavenly heights. Peace to all men and women on earth who please him." Now, we're going to have another symbol of Christmas. A sword. Would we choose this symbol to represent Christmas? Maybe not. But the sword reminds us of the earthly reality of the Christmas story. Jesus was born into a territory dominated by foreign invaders, the Romans. In the very first reading, we heard that the census that caused Joseph to go to Bethlehem with Mary was ordered by Caesar Augustus. Now, during his reign, Caesar Augustus started the Imperial Peace, or the Pax Romana, which stands as one of the longest enduring periods of peace in human history. But even so, throughout Jesus' life, there was the possibility of violent rebellion against Rome, which might tear apart the land where he lived. And of course, violence and terror and war are still with us today. But if we look at Paul's letter to Titus, Titus 2:13-14, we see that while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. The sword reminds us that Jesus will come back and put an end to violence and the threat of cruelty. So let's sing a song to cheer ourselves up. We're going to sing another carol, Sweet Chiming Bells. I remember in lockdown, I don't know if you remember this, we had the Christmas video service and Susie had done 1,000 medleys. I was editing these and I thought, what can I do to make these special? What can I do to make these different? And we got to that one, Sweet Chiming Bells. And Andrea was shaking some bells, and I just had her rotating around the screen. And that's all I can think of when I hear that song, is Andrea just, yeah. Where am I up to now? Good grief. Oh, here we go. Another reading, please. So this is Luke 2:15 to 18. As the angel choir withdrew into heaven, the shepherds talked it over. Let's get over to Bethlehem as fast as we can and see for ourselves what God has revealed to us. They left, running, and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. Seeing is believing. They told everyone they met what the angels had said about this child. All who heard the shepherds were impressed. Going to have a third symbol of Christmas, and it's a bowl of water. Would we choose that as a Christmas symbol? You would. Good. Every baby needs to be washed when they've been born, and Jesus was no exception in that regard. Now, a lot of Christmas imagery has Mary and Joseph in a stable with the baby Jesus in a manger, and lots of animals looking on, and some shepherds, and even three wise men. We think they're there because the innkeeper said there was no room at the inn. Well, the two accounts of Jesus' birth in the New Testament, one in Matthew, one in Luke, make no mention of an innkeeper. They were probably staying at a family home. Some houses in those days had an upper room, which was the main living space. And below that was a rudimentary living space, which also had a space for the family's animals, so they could be brought in overnight to protect them from the cold, the weather, and from theft. So Mary and Joseph had gone to Bethlehem because that's where Joseph was from, his family was from, and he had family there. But lots of people had gone to Bethlehem, so it's likely that that upper living space was full, and Mary and Joseph had to stay in the lower part of the house. So that's the kind of scenario we're looking at. Not necessarily a stable, but they're downstairs in a place where the animals could come in. And there would have been a manger, and Jesus would have been laid in it, and he would need it to have been washed. So that's why we have this bowl of water. But it also reminds us that everyone who trusts in Jesus will be washed clean as well. So that's why we have a bowl of water as a symbol of Christmas. All the bad things that make us ashamed will get washed away and will be made new and pure. And that's a fantastic Christmas present. And so we're going to sing again. We're going to sing Hark the Herald Angels. Are you ready? Thank you. coming for the next. Thank you. This is Luke 2, 19 to 20. Mary kept all these things to herself, holding them dear deep within herself. The shepherds returned and let loose, glorifying and praising God for everything they had heard and seen. It turned out exactly the way they'd been told. Next slide, please. This is our fourth and final Christmas symbol. It's a hand. Would we choose a hand to represent Christmas? Mm-hmm. Okay. What can we do with our hands? What things do we do with our hands? Hold things? Wave? Shake hands? Yes, shake hands. Give, that was a good one. Pray, yes. Slap? Not slap. Sorry? Helping hand, exactly. Oh, you've seen my script. What's so special about the human hand? It's got a thumb. It's got an opposable thumb. Lots of primates have opposable thumbs. Some tree frogs do as well, I found in my research, and koala bears. And koala bears are one of the few primates, non-primates, that have fingerprints. Amazing the way these searches take you down rabbit holes when you're supposed to be concentrating on one thing. Yes, we're not the only species with an opposable thumb, but the human opposable thumb is longer compared to finger length than any other primate thumb. It means we can touch all of our fingers with a thumb, and therefore we can do squeezy-squeezy on meat to see how well it's cooked. So that's rare, that's medium rare, medium, and that's well done. Did you know that? Do it, try it, feel it. If you can feel that the pad there of your thumb is softer there than it is there. Yeah, so when you're cooking your fillet steak, squeezy, squeezy. We can grip really hard with our hands, but we also have very fine motor control for writing. We can do lots of things with our hands. We can take, but more importantly, we can give. When Mary and Joseph arrived in Bethlehem for the census, they were dependent on the helping hands of others, family, friends, sometimes even strangers. The shepherds to whom the angels appeared, those guys weren't popular with everyone back in the town of Bethlehem. As one article I read put it, they were relegated to the lower socio-economic strata of society. Okay, so the fact that God chose the shepherds to be visited by angels to tell them of the birth of Jesus showed how much God cared for the shepherds. Similarly, we are asked to do good things. So as we saw in the Titus reading earlier, we should be eager to do what is good in order to point forward to the promise of a world made the way that God wants it. We're going to sing another carol, and it's O Come All Ye Faithful. We haven't just done that, have we? No. Sorry. O Come All Ye Faithful. Thank you. Next slide, please, John. So here we have our alternative symbols for Christmas. One baby sleeping, one sword a stabbing, one bowl a washing, one hand a helping, five gold rings. We're going to use these symbols now, and Joe and I haven't practiced this, so, and she was going to let me use the clicky clicky, but I'm not confident with that. Even though I work with technology all the time, I'm not confident with that. We're going to use these symbols to make a statement of faith on this Christmas day. So I want you to say the words with me as they appear on the screen. Are we ready, Joe? First one. This is the good news that we believe, that Jesus gave himself for us to rescue us from all wickedness, to make us a pure people who belong to him, and make us eager to do good. That, for me, that's the message of Christmas. God came to us as the baby Jesus and gave himself for us and will come back again. And now we're going to have our closing carol, and it's a medley. It's Ding Dong Merrily on High. That's our Christmas service. Let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this special day when we can celebrate the birth of your Son in this world. We thank you that you came into this world not to be served, but to serve, to show us how to behave, to teach us about love, justice, and mercy, to show us how to give and to help others. And as we go from this place, I pray your blessing on every one of us so that we can show your love to everyone we meet and bring glory to your name in Sambach. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So thank you to everyone who's helped out. Thank you to the music group. Thank you to the sound team. And yes, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. Happy Christmas.